College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts for The Weekly Report.
Hey everyone, and welcome to College Volleyball Weekly Beach Edition with our Coast to Coast report. We've got from the right coast representing Florida State University, Mads Fitzpatrick, and the west coast or the left coast. So you got Charlie Ekstrom from Stanford University, deep into lockdown quarantine still. But hey, ladies, thanks for coming back on for our special recording of today's episode.
Thank you so much for having us.
So excited.
Oh yeah, I know, especially with the news that came out this week. I mean, honestly, one of the most exciting things to see is the fact that a poll would even come out on Wednesday the 27th, just because, you know, there were big question marks. Is the season to go? And that's so optimistic to see something like that to come out. So I wanted to get your responses as student athletes competing for programs who are going to be in the thick of it with this poll coming out. So we'll start with Mads.
Yeah, I was so excited to see the polls come out. I know every single team was. I think that the rankings are I think that they're accurate, and I'm excited that Florida State is ranked 3. That way we can just prove ourselves and grind all the way to that number one spot. But yeah, I know everyone's really pumped to see the rankings because it kind of just adds fuel to everyone's fire.
How about you there, Charlie?
Yeah, so I was super excited to see them come out too. I think that it's been a week of really great news considering Santa Clara County, up where we're at with Stanford, loosened the restrictions a little bit. And we just are so optimistic and so looking forward to a season where we're actually able to compete at home, where we won't have to be traveling the entire season. It's going to be a great time. And we think that we're ready for some upsets coming from the lower half of the rankings bracket. And I think it's an exciting season. I'm excited to see kind of what plays out.
Well, that actually is a great segue because we must be just dialed in mentally, because I was like, we should go from the top to the bottom. Like, but even as we were talking, like, we should go bottom back up to the top. So that goes to our breakdown of the AVCA preseason poll. And the way that we've looked at it is we're going to look at number 11 through 20. And we'll start with your guys' thoughts on that particular breakdown of this preseason poll. We'll start with Charlie, being that he has Stanford, her a Cardinal, are right there at a number 19. But definitely encourage you, Matt, to jump in on any intel, or not intel, information on the other teams that are in that 11 through 20. So Charlie, go for it.
Yeah, I think that numbers 11 through 20, I'm really looking forward to seeing kind of some upsets. I think we see kind of at the top, we see some of these East Coast schools and Stetson and FAU and FIU in South Carolina, where you know that these are teams that can produce solid win records. You know that with FAU, with FIU, that there's some solid, solid ones, twos, threes there that are really ready to compete. And you know that South Carolina, they're kind of the queens of the upsets. They had that massive upset last year with USC. And I think I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing what these programs can produce. Then kind of coming down into the bottom half of the numbers 11 through 20, we see Long Beach, we see Arizona, we see Arizona State, we see Georgia, we see Stanford as well. And I think that all of these teams, I think we're kind of ready. I think that a lot of us, with the season ending so closely last year, we were hungry for more. And I'm really excited to kind of see the Pac-12 battles, the Big West battles, and really kind of see what all of these teams can produce this time around.
How about you, Mads? I mean, you obviously have some of your teams in your area in the CCSA. They're going to be tough teams. What do you think about that 11 to 20 for those teams?
Yeah, I was excited to see that 7 CCSA teams got AVCA rankings. So that just means, you know, our conference is getting bigger and better, which I'm always proud to see. FAU with that 11-1 record last year, that's really impressive. And I know a lot of their girls, pretty much all their girls stayed. So they're going to be definitely vying for those top spots. FIU is always good. As I say, 11 to 20 are all just super strong. I'm excited to see what Stanford does. Always rooting for my friend Charlie. But yeah, I just can't wait to get going to see what those teams do because they're so talented.
Well, so I picked out some numbers and I just wanted to see based on the team's records. But what really stuck out for me, the two teams that both of you have mentioned are FAU and FIU. Their number 1 through 3 flights are a combined 63-9. So like FAU was 40-6 and they're 1-3. FIU is 23-3. You know, their number ones were 9-0 and their number twos, where, you know, it's just the same pattern with those two teams. What is making those two teams really good this year? And we'll start with Charlie.
Yeah, so I think we can start off with FIU with that ones pair. They have been playing, they played for 4 years together, and they produced solid, insane win to loss ratio results every single year of playing together. I think that FAU also, they've got that solid pair of Erica Brock and Mackenzie Morris, which are back, and they are known to be a gritty pair that's ready to battle. And so I think that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing what these teams can produce. They've always kind of been underdogs in that CCSA conference. Like, they kind of almost get pushed to the side because that conference is such a strong one, but I'm really ready to see kind of how they can make it stronger.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Vets?
I agree full-heartedly. I think that one aspect of FIU and FAU that plays to their advantage is that they're kind of smaller schools, like less known, and they're usually underdogs. And with that underdog usually comes like a fire from within. And I think both of those schools, those top three pairs, as you said, have that fire, and they use that underdog card to their advantage every single time.
You know, one of the things that stuck out about FIU's squad is Margarita Bianchin. How she's elected not to come back to stay close to family, which is totally understandable in Italy, but she was a big part of that number one pair and that 8-1 FIU team. How do they adjust? Who steps up into that number one spot with her? Any ideas or projections? We'll start with you, Mads. It's close to home for you.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard one. Their team was so strong, the two of them. So I know that's going to be a huge loss for that team. They've got, I mean, so many solid, like, gritty out of the box girls on that team. I really think it's going to be a hard fight to see who vies for that number one spot. I can't really name any names right now, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. How about you, Charlie?
I think I'm on the exact same page as Mads with that one. I think that it's really going to be a battle at who's going to kind of fill her shoes, but I think that it's going to be one that's well earned. And I think that it's going to be a good partnership regardless of the outcome.
Well, I'm going to ask you these basic questions. Don't have to get specific, but just because you guys have a feel for the game, what's happening in the current atmosphere, but what teams do you feel are trending upward in that 11 through 20 group? And we'll start with you, Charlie.
Yeah, so I had mentioned South Carolina very briefly as the kind of queens of the upset. I think that that's a team that is always an underdog, but always produces at least one crazy upset. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what crazy upset or upsets that be they produce this year. I think also kind of on that upward trend, we'll see Long Beach kind of return. We've got really, really solid powerhouse defenders in Mari Molina and Nikki Ryan King. And I think that those are two girls that Mari actually has her partner Tyler coming back, but whoever gets paired with Nikki, Nikki's just the type of player to elevate. And I think that that's going to be something that's really awesome for Long Beach to kind of see. I think also, I don't know, I see a lot in the 11 through 20 spots of young rosters. And mm-hmm. So I think that it'll be interesting to kind of see how these things play out just because of the youth that's kind of on these younger teams. I know even looking at my team, we have 6 freshmen and we have all of our freshmen and all of our sophomores are really talented players. And we've got more underclassmen than we do upperclassmen. And so it's kind of exciting to see that little bit of a sprinkle into our lineup to kind of get some power.
You mean the Charlie Ekstrom fan club followed you to Stanford, right?
I don't know about that one. I love our freshmen, though.
All right, Mads, how about your take on that 11 to 20 on the trending upward teams?
I totally agree with Charlie about Long Beach State. I was going to mention Mari and Nikki as well. Such solid players. And Long Beach State always impresses. Like every time we play them, it's a fight. It's always a battle. So I definitely see them trending upward. FAU, as I said before, I could not talk more highly about them. I think that they're definitely on the rise. Stetson and South Carolina are both known for upsets. So I think with teams that are known for upsets, you can always see them reaching higher in the rankings. So yeah.
You know, I'm amazed. I you know, digging through the numbers like the dweeb or nerd that I am. One of the teams that I didn't hear mentioned from either of you was Arizona. And I think it's because I have a lot more time to look at their flights, but their 2 through 5 went 40-9 last year. And I was like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know the players as well, but gosh, they've got a solid resume there from the 2020 season. Could they pull a dark horse upset?
I could definitely see that. I see that they went 7-0 last year. So no losses. That's always really impressive. I could definitely see them pulling an upset.
Yeah. And I think looking at, I was kind of also noticing that that like middle range of their pairs were really solid. I know that there's a really solid partnership looking at statistics with Sarah Blacker and Alex Parkhurst. I actually, it's fun. Sarah Blacker and I have known each other since way back when, as we're both San Diego natives, but kind of seeing both of them as a partnership, they put up really, really consistent wins at that twos, threes kind of bounce back spot. And something that I noticed with Arizona as well was that they mixed up their partnerships a lot. So they kind of have that bit of flexibility that other schools might not have.
Yeah. Well, excellent stuff. Let's move into our next bracket of the ABCA preseason poll. And I believe we're looking at our number 5 through number 10. We'll start with Mads on this one. What sticks out with you in that group? And does that reflect a pretty accurate a ranking for a preseason?
I think that definitely does reflect an accurate ranking. Grand Canyon had a really good start to their season last year, going 10-2. Hawaii, I know that they lost Morgan Martin and she's not coming back. So that's like a pretty big loss for them. I think Pepperdine, you know, I love Brooke Bauer. It's going to be interesting to see who steps up to play with her, probably at the one seed. So yeah, I think that those are accurate rankings and I'm excited to see with all the switch ups that are happening.
All right. Charlie, what's your take at it?
Yeah. So starting off with, as Mads was saying, with Pepperdine and Brooke Bauer, I'm really, really intrigued as to see who they end up pairing with her. But I think something that's beautiful about Brooke is that she's just the type of player that can elevate whoever she's playing with, which is awesome. Mads and I actually both have been partners with Brooke in the past. And both of us just absolutely love that girl and are excited what she can do. Mads also brought up Hawaii, which I think something that I really see with Hawaii is, like she was saying, Morgan Martin's gone. We know that Julia Scholes has transferred to USC. What I've heard is that they've got a lot of indoor girls transferring over into their team. And so they've got these big blocks kind of partnering with these solid defenders that Hawaii is pretty notorious for putting out. Like we look at Pawnee Napoleon, who herself is just a leader in a defensive machine back there at the ones last year. I think also Cal, they've kind of been an underspoken top 10 team. And that's a team like Mima Merkovich. She's ridiculous. That girl puts up consistent wins consistently anywhere that she's at. And Jordan Polo, she's the queen of consistency herself. Love that girl. That lefty. Oh my goodness.
Wait. Ridiculous. A Stanford girl liking a Cal girl? Is that possible?
I know. I think that rivalry, while it is a rivalry, there's a mutual love for kind of all of the players on both sides. I love those Cal girls and I'm really stoked to kind of see what lineups they kind of are able to produce this year.
Yeah.
We also just haven't mentioned Cal Poly and Todd Rogers this year. Mm-hmm. Cal Poly, they are the grinders. I think we all know Macy Gordon and we all know that she is the epitome of the grind doesn't stop. And I am so excited to kind of see that mentality just embraced in Cal Poly because I feel like they've been building that for so many years. And Macy, especially being a fourth year this year, will really be able to step into that leadership role and kind of lead that grind that Cal Poly is notorious for.
Yeah. Well, some of the names that I wanted to mention just from my end, you know, having experience with them is Pepperdine, definitely Brooke Bauer, but they're going to be missing the services of Gigi Hernandez, one of the best Twitter handles on social media, get Gigi with it. So, you know, love seeing her play behind Alexis Philippone, who's playing the big, but they're going to have some big shoes to fill with Gigi gone and Deanna Kraft gone playing indoor at Wisconsin, which they're killing it right now. So, but yes, definitely you mentioned Cal, Mima Merkovich, but Brooke Buckner and Jordan Polo were definitely on the radar for me as well. LMU, I got to see them at the Wave Beach Invitational in November. I guess that would have been 2019. And I was very amazed at that LMU team. And they've added Ia Lindahl as well on that roster. They still got Sav Slattery, Reka Orsi-Toth, Darby Dunn, and Emma Dowd there. And then Grand Canyon. Tegan DeFalco, Ella Bowman, another pair to watch, definitely. I don't know a whole bunch about the rest of the team, but they were playing well in all the stuff I've seen them. And then Cal Poly, like you said, Todd Rogers just has the magic. He's the professor, but I think he's got a magician's hat because he finds the right players and His coaching style is not that other coaches aren't as mentoring as he is, but he definitely has a style. And maybe it's the medals he's got, but his presence, the way he works with his ladies, they respond very well. So Cal Poly is definitely on the radar. And then finally, Hawaii in the number five spot, new head coach, Angelica Ljungqvist. But I did not know about Morgan Martin. According as of last night, when I checked the roster, she was still on there. But I noticed that some key players in their team, Maya Hanneman and Maddie Bogle, have opted out of the 21 season. So they have some big shoes to fill there. And obviously the loss of Julius Scholes. So be interesting to see what happens with those two Big West teams of Cal Poly and Hawaii. Who's going to nudge up? Or are they going to stay? Is Long Beach going to rise and upset Hawaii, Cal Poly? So that's closer to my conference. So I get to see them more in person. And I'm surviving on feeds. So if your schools get some good feeds, I'm definitely watching them.
Well,
all right. This is our favorite one, because I know that I know there's a rivalry here with someone who's being represented here. But I thought it was exciting because, you know, going to the different threads on, well, I'll call it Poly Talk, there's some good discussion going on. But the top four, and I'm going to list them out: LSU 12 at number one with 12 first place votes, UCLA at number two with 2 first place votes, Florida State's third, and USC at 4. I'll do this one for them. Now, we'll start with Mads on this one here. What are your thoughts on that top four?
I'm really excited to get in there and mess up those top four rankings. I know all of us at Florida State are. I think with LSU being 11-0, I mean, that was a really impressive start to their last season. They have a deep roster, and all those older girls are returning, like Taryn Cloth, Kristen Nuss, Claire, Tony Rodriguez. So all of those girls are so physical and experienced. So that's a really solid older team. They do a lot of big block, little defender defense, which is very interesting, and it works out well for them. So I'm really excited to get the chance to play them this year. UCLA, as always, fantastic school. Savvy coming back, that's great. Lexi Denenberg, Abby Van Winkle, Lindsay Sparks, all such good experienced players, grinders.
Gotta give your Florida girl a holler, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, Lexi, I'm on to both of you and Maddie. It's okay.
Yeah, Lexi's amazing. So physical and such a good player. Then comes us at FSU. We have our seniors returning with Sarah Putt, Molly, and Peyton Caffrey. So that's awesome. That adds just depth and experience to our team. We're looking to defend that CCSA title. LSU hasn't taken it from us yet. We've got 4 in a row. So they've been fighting for it for as long as I've been here. So it's definitely going to be an interesting time when CCSA is getting here. And then USC with Sammy Slater, Haley Howard, Tina Gradina. That's a huge addition, or like re-addition to their roster. And Haley Hallgren, they're all really good players. So I think they're going to be hungry, because I think they went 5-4 last year. So I think they're going to come out starting really hungry.
Good, good. All right, Charlie, your coast. What do you got?
All righty. I completely agree with kind of everything that Matt said there. We look at, like, starting out with number one with LSU. That lineup has gotten such a depth to it. We look at, Mads mentioned the blockers that are coming back. They also added recently the additions of Jess Shaven, who's now Jess Landsman, as well as, which is an incredible add back. They've got, I think, their entire fifth year population from last year has returned for their sixth year this year. So that depth that LSU already had just got deeper. I think that LSU's got a lineup that they can actually match. They've got 2 full lineups. So let's say that the whole first lineup might get hit with a COVID outbreak. They've got a whole backup lineup that equally can win some games too. And I think that that's really exciting for them as a squad. I think that that kind of leadership with a lot of upperclassmen is going to do them very well this year. I think we go down to UCLA to the next one. They do have that strength in returners with Abby, with Savvy, with Lindsay, with Lexi. They've got kind of, I think UCLA is key. They've got a lot of talent all the way in their roster, but their kind of key is finding that chemistry. And I think that they've done that so well that everybody's talented at UCLA, but it's the chemistry that really counts in their partnerships. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what partnerships they produce this year. Mm-hmm. Going to FSU with Mads, I mean, I'm a big Mads fan. What can I say? But I think that's something that you guys had last year was that unfinished business. And I'm really excited to kind of have you guys return and see all of that unfinished business kind of finish itself. And your new additions with Tori Van Winden, with kind of having those big blockers, they make your strong lineup even stronger with those crazy good defenders that you've got. Adding with a big block, it's going to be a money kind of combination. And lastly, in our top four is USC. And I think that really, like Mads was saying, this top four, I think, is going to mix up quite a bit. And I think that USC, like Mads was saying, is hungry for some wins. They've got Tina, they've got Julia, they've got Sammy, they've got Haley Harward, they've got Haley Hallgren. They've got the new faces of Meg Kraft and Delaney Maple, which are a freshman pair that we know is a ridiculously good, as we've seen them on the AVP. Yeah. They've got a stacked roster and they're thirsty for some wins to come out this year. And I'm excited to see what they produce.
It sounds exciting. And what's crazy is even some of the names that I've come across weren't even mentioned. Some transfers, Bo Chulo from LMU is going to USC as a grad student. So their bigs get even bigger. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they can get better at the bigs there. I mean, if anything, oh, can I play behind that big? Oh, Tina? Or shall I play behind Julia? I don't know. Bo, you tell me. But they've definitely stacked up this year. And it's like, I feel like, yeah, LSU is definitely the front runner number one. But looking at the shifts across the nation, the transfers, the talent that was picked up in new or first years, I think there's going to be so much talent going at it. I think it's going to be a brawl from week to week. I know that, you know, LSU of the top four is the only one that has their schedule out. I know they're coming west. My next question for all of us was, or for you guys particularly, is when should we expect the rest of the schedule of the nation to come out? I know that there's about 20 or so that have been listed on Volley Talk of some programs that have their schedules out, with LSU being one of them. But I know that things are still being worked out on your guys' end. What are you guys projecting and on your end, without letting too many secrets out of the bag so you don't get in trouble by your coaching staff or admins? We're going to start with you, Mads.
I know it's coming out in the next few weeks. Our season is getting ready to get started within a month or so. So it should be out within the next few weeks.
All right. How about you, Charlie?
Yeah. So our season opener is set for the end of February, for the final weekend of February. I think it's still a little bit up in the air when the entirety of our schedule is coming out, as they're still working out some kinks. But I'd say looking into the next few weeks, or somewhere around that last week of February, is when we'll have a full schedule released.
Now, I've definitely got to ask you guys, because I think our listeners and viewers are curious, but who are some of the top, we'll say, I know there's a lot that you can name, but if there were a top five of athletes or teams to watch this year, let's go with teams. That'll probably be easier. Or is that, what do you think? Because we don't know who's going to be pairing up with who yet. But, you know, let's go with individuals. Top players that you'll be watching this year. We'll start with Charlie on this one.
Yeah, okay. So
watch Charlie Ekstrom and
No. I think that one that instantly, my first thought that comes to mind is Tina Graudina. I mean, she's just ridiculous, and she's so fun to watch, so fun to play against, such a kind individual. And I think it's gonna be just so fun to have her back into the collegiate beach volleyball scene. I think somebody
I'll go over to Mads. We'll go back and forth. So you, there's right, Tina, yours, and how about you, Mads?
Okay, I'm going to go to UCLA with Savvy Simo. She's been so good for so long. And I think with this last year of her, she's going to really take advantage of it.
All right, back to you, Charlie.
And I'm going to go back to the East Coast on this one with Kristen Nuss. I think Kristen's just a talent and a force. And I think that she's so fun to watch.
All right, back to you, Mads.
Going off of that, Kristen Nuss's partner this whole summer when we've been off was Taryn Clough. So I think that she's definitely a top player to look after.
Well, I'm going to have to pause right there, because she had excellent success with Claire Coppola. Do you think Coach Russ is going to keep her with Taryn Clough?
That is a really interesting question that I've also been wondering. Obviously, her and Claire Coppola have so much success and so much history behind them. But then, I mean, recently, how can you beat Taryn and Kristen? I don't really know. So we'll definitely see. That's a toss-up for sure.
All right. How about you, Charlie?
Oh my goodness, there's so many options. I think we'll go back and we'll look at UCLA, and I'm gonna say Abby Van Winkle. She's just a fun player. She's so consistent, and that block has just gotten better and better through the years. It's awesome.
All right, back to you, Matt.
I'm gonna go to Florida State and say Molly McBain. She's quiet, but she is an absolute just lethal weapon at the net. She's incredible. And I think that sometimes she gets overlooked because she's a little bit more of a quiet player, but she is really unbeatable. So for sure, Molly McBain.
All right. How about you, Charlie? Our fifth right here.
Our fifth. I think that I'm going to be picking as a duo of Haley Harwood and Julia Scholes. I think that that's a partnership that went off this summer. Like we were talking about that partnership of Taryn Cloth and Kristen Ness, like Haley and Julia were right there with them too. And I think that that's a fun duo.
All right, back to you, Mats.
Okay. I'm gonna do another FSU. Tori Van Winden, such a talented player, and I'm so honored to have her on our team. So she's definitely one to look out for.
Why do I have this feeling that you may end up playing with Tori Van Winden?
I mean, that would be amazing. I've been wanting to just play defense for a very long time. So I would love to play behind a huge block. So hopefully it's going in that direction.
Now, I know that we've got some pretty veteran names there, but if you could think of maybe one or two new faces to watch, and what I mean by new faces are basically freshmen or, you know, first years. We'll start with you, Charlie.
Ooh, I think she's not a first year, but she's a redshirt first year in TCU's Daniela Alvarez. She plays for Spain, and she is a force to be reckoned with.
Excellent. Good pick. How about you, Mads?
I also don't know if she's a freshman. She might be a sophomore or redshirt freshman.
Okay, close enough.
Yeah.
So COVID's kind of ruined a lot of things, so we don't know what age we are, what year we're at.
Where am I right now? But I think Sutton at Pepperdine, she's really going to have to step up this year, and she's a great blocker. I've heard she's a great person, so I'm looking forward to see how Sutton handles the pressure of a lot of her teammates leaving.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw one in there because I've got to, because I didn't hear her name, their names, but it's the team of Audrey and Nicole Norse, especially with this year off. I mean, they were already good going into their first year, but I mean, technically they're going back to a first year, and they've been playing together pretty consistently because they are in the same household, and they've been scrimmaging some really good teams when they've been able to play, and they've been doing some pretty phenomenal stuff. So I'm watching the Norse twins and see what damage they do. And that's gotta be one of the best number threes in the nation. If you think about it, assuming they stay at the number three spot, you know?
I always feel like I forget that they're so much younger. Like it kind of throws me off. Like I forget that they're redshirt freshmen this year because they've been around for a while. Goodness, they are. Yeah, that's a powerful threes. And depending on where they end up, powerful wherever they end up.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you, Mads, because I'd come across one of your new faces, Caitlin Moon, a couple summers ago, and she's a pretty talented first year. Any chance of any other first years cracking the lineup there at Florida State?
It's hard. It's such a competition every day at practice because we have 28 girls and everyone is so talented. Caitlin Moon, she's incredible. She is so tall with such long arms. She's a huge powerhouse. She can put that ball down. So I think she's definitely working her way, trying to sneak into the lineup. Raylan, another one of our freshmen, she is incredible and so wise beyond her years. So I could definitely see her sneaking into it. Raylan White.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to throw this question your way. As D1 scholar athletes, or, you know, student athletes, hopefully scholar athletes, but then student athletes for sure. You know, being that we're coming out of this time in history with the circumstances that we've been dealing with COVID pandemic, how long do you think it'll take for teams to really find their rhythm competitively and mentally? And we'll start with you, Charlie, and then we'll end with you, Mats.
Yeah, I think that that's actually a really, really good question to bring up. I think that on the West Coast, at least, because we've had such kind of a heavier set of restrictions, a lot of teams have been unable to practice together and unable to kind of find that rhythm. So I think it might take a couple weeks into season for everybody to really kind of get going. I'm intrigued to kind of see what partnerships are produced from schools that haven't been around. And I'm really, really excited to kind of see everybody getting into the swing of things. I think that week three of season, it's going to be when things really kick into gear.
Yeah. All right, Mads, hit the home run on this one.
I might be naively optimistic, but I feel like we have been waiting for so long for this season to happen that when it starts the first game, we're just going to come out as hard as we possibly can. I'm not sure if the partnerships will be totally set by then, but I know that we are ready no matter what happens. So yeah, I just think that that long wait is going to really push us into starting as strong as we can.
Well, one thing's for sure, we are all excited for the season to get started. And what I anticipate seeing the first few weeks in the polls and even just in the duels is some hardcore volatility and shakeups, because teams trying to find their rhythms. But that's what makes it so much fun. And being at those duels, it's 2-2. There's one duel left and it's the duel deciding match. Third set tie break, and it's going beyond the cap. Oh, it's just insane. So, hey, ladies, Mads Fitzpatrick of Florida State and Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford doing our College Volleyball Weekly Beach Edition Coast to Coast Report. Thanks for coming on to our special edition for the AVCA preseason poll. Looking forward to checking in with you ladies in a couple weeks once we start seeing more schedules and we can discuss the other hot topics.
Thank you so much. Always an honor.
Yes, thank you for having us. I'm so excited to keep on chatting.
Hey y'all, thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.